off tonight, as we nearly always do, with new music, and this is from a new CD which will be officially launched here in Galway City tomorrow night, featuring the music of Peter and Angelina Carberry. Reels starting us off tonight. The Spike Island Lasses, Over the Bridge to Betty, and The Master's Return was the last one there, and that's taken from a new album, brand new, just came my way within the last couple of days, called Memories from the Holla, featuring the accordion playing of Peter Carberry, and on banjo his daughter Angelina, and John Blake on guitar. Peter Carberry is a native of County Longford but lived for many years in Manchester, where he was part of a very vibrant music scene there for many years, but he's been living in Galway for the past few years, and his daughter Angelina lives here as well. John Blake, another, is an Englishman who grew up in London but is living in Ennis at the moment. Memories from the Holla is the title of the album, from two members of a very musical family indeed from County Longford. Peter, that's Peter Carberry, the accordion player, is a nephew of the very well-known Peter Carberry, the Illan Piper from County Longford. And as I said, that CD will be officially launched in the Roisin Dove in Galway tomorrow night, and Peter Carberry Senior, the Piper, will be there, as well as lots of other great musicians as well. Martin O'Connor doing the honours and officially launching that album in Galway tomorrow night. Now, our first song on the programme tonight comes from Scotland. This is Heather Heywood. I'm not sure if we've heard her before on the programme. A Tale of Treachery, The Baron of Brackley is the title of this one.
Dundee side, come in varia, whistling and playing. And he was at Brackley's yet, ere the day was a-dawing. Crying, Baron, oh, Brackley, oh, are ye within? There are sharp swords, do not your yates that all gar your blood spin. Oh, rise up, my baron, and turn back your kai, for the lads freedom warren are driving them by. Oh, how can I rise up and turn them again? For war I hae ye, man, I'm sure he'll hate in. Oh, gin I had a husband as a wat a hinnin, he would nae lie in his bed and watch his kiteen. Then up spak the baron, says, gie me my gun, for I will gang out, love, though I'll never win in. When Brackley was busket and raider the close, a gallanter baron ne'er lapped a horse. Come kiss me, my Peggy, ne'er think me to blame, for I will gang out, love, though I'll never win him. There come we for in Bria 33. There was nane we bonny Brackley, but his brother and he. Twa gallant our Gordons did never sword draw, but against 33, way is me, what is twa? Way swords and way daggers they did surround, and they pierced bonny Brackley with money's the wound. Frae the heat o' the dee to the banks o' the spey, the Gordons will mourn him and ban in Vry. Oh, come ye by Brackley's yetts, and were ye in there, and saw ye his Peggy arrive in her hair. Oh, I come by Brackley's yetts, and I was in there, and I saw his ain Peggy, she was making good cheer. She was laughing and ranting and singing for joy, and vowing on that very next she would feast in Vry. She's laughed with him, drank with him, welcomed him ben, and she's kept him till morning, wha he's slain her good man. There's grief in the kitchen, and there's mirth in the hall, and the baron o' Brackley is deed and a woe. Then up spak his young son frae his nurse's knee, gin I leave to be a man, revenged I will be.
Powerful. The Baron of Brackley is the title of the song. That's Heather Haywood from the village of Crosshouse in Ayrshire in southwest Scotland. A very fine singer indeed. And that's a recent album from her. I think it's probably her second or possibly even her third solo album, singing there of Heather Haywood. Now, we heard a couple of songs on the programme last night, last week, I should say, from Mickey McConnell. He was our guest on the programme, and we had a great chat with him as well. And he was talking about the fact that he doesn't like working in studio and, in fact, hates the whole idea of going in and being in studio and being expected to perform and so on. And he mentioned the fact that his brother, Cathal McConnell, loves studios and loves the whole recording process and everything else. Well, I thought we'd have a bit of music from the brother tonight. And this is Cathal McConnell. Cathal, of course, is a member of the Boys of the Lock, best known as a member of the Boys of the Lock over the last number of years, has travelled the world with them, and one of, I suppose, the most successful traditional groups in the world over the last number of years. But this is from a solo album that he recorded there just about a year ago, entitled Long Expectant Comes at Last. And from that we're going to hear Big John's Hard Jig is the title of the first one. And the second jig is Mama's Pet, and he's accompanied on this track by John Doyle on guitar. This is Cathal McConnell. John's Hard Jig from the playing of Big John McManus, and Mama's Pet there, the second of those jigs, Cathal McConnell on flute, John Doyle accompanying him on guitar. We've heard a lot from John Doyle in recent times. He was, of course, until quite recently a member of the American-based band Sullet, but plays accompaniment with a lot of different people on recordings over the last while, including an album that we heard on the programme for the first time last week, an album of music mainly on Low Whistle from Joe McKenna. Now, this is music from an album which came out just before Christmas, and an album which was recorded in the main live in Ennis last summer at a concert which was held in aid of the Clare Haven House Project, a project which helps women in violent situations, in particularly in County Clare. And the concert brought together some of the best female musicians in County Clare, and so indeed does the album. Clone the Mom is the title of the album. The musicians on this selection of reels here: Joan Hanrahan on fiddle, Breed Long on flute, Dimna O'Sullivan on concertina, and Geraldine Cotter on piano. Kevin Burke's reel, The Bells of Tipperary and St. Patrick's Night, that'll be coming up soon as well. Thank you. Lovely music indeed there. Joan Hanrahan on fiddle, Breed Long on flute, Dimple O'Sullivan on concertina, and Geraldine Cotter on piano there. Kevin Burke's Wheel, The Bells of Tipperary, and St. Patrick's Night, taken from Ciarán Na Mban. Some of the other musicians who feature on the album will include Sharon Shannon and Mary Custy and Kate Purcell and Mary McNamara. It really is a very fine collection indeed, entitled Ciarán Na Mban. Now, a number of weeks ago in Dublin, a very special event was held commemorating, it's part of the 50th anniversary commemorations of Coltas Ciarán Thoraíre. And a plaque was unveiled at the former siting of the Pipers Club in 14 Thomas Street in Dublin. And Peter Brown was there for the late session, and we'll hear from Peter in a couple of minutes' time. We'll also hear from Laura Somorohu, who presented the occasion. But first of all, some music from the occasion of the unveiling of the plaque in Thomas Street at the outside the venue of the old Pipers Club in Thomas Street.
Is mean le medosach just falche a curroiv galair agus gaum buachas leis na pibri agus na cioltori an seo cama. Crin se an áhasorin gwil le shanori a win le club na bibri I láhar lin an seo inyov. Agus an eish tamic an eiri bonahor an coltish Paddy McIlvany an leach seo an nochtu inyov. Paddy McIlvany.
Right.
I'm now going to ask Ulrich O'Connor, who has a poem composed on the Pipers Club, to give it to us now. Ulrich O'Connor, and a big round of applause.
So this is just two verses that I used to come here years ago in the 50s. It always occurred to me that I'd hear this wonderful music, and the great difficulty was that I was trying to write things in words that the musicians seem to be able to do so beautifully. And when you came into the club, there'll be a lot of fiddling and flirting going on with the strings, and all of a sudden it would start. And these are just two verses that I wrote at the time and were put up in the Pipers Club. The leaping finger tightens on the string. Bow slips sideways in a sudden swoop. The fiddler's found his air with head on swing. His glazed eyes ignore the captive group. But oh, my knuckle tightens at my plight. What silken word can match the fiddler's fling? Who saw a blackbird in a gap of light and trapped its sweetness on a tightened string? Thank you.
I just want Paddy McIlvany to say a few words to it now. Paddy McIlvany.
My words were very short. I want to welcome everybody here, and I'm delighted to see all, well, the old crowd, but I'm delighted to see so many young people here today too. And long may it last. God bless.
Well done. Ooh,
good man.
Well, this song was sung here around 48 years ago.
I don't know, can I still sing it, but I'll try.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Down by the Mull Care Banks I strayed one lovely day in June, where the birds were singing cheerfully and the meadows in full bloom. When on my boyhood days I think, sure the tears come rolling down. For it's in the morning I must leave you, dear old Newport town. How lonely is the pigeon's coo, and sad the blackbird. Loud and high the thrush's song on the long bright summer day. For I'll sit down and cry my fill as the streams come rolling down. That dashes through that ivy bridge in dear old Newport town. Tipperary's hills and dales farewell, sure from you I now must part. I'll never again roam Cullen's groves, for this thought near breaks my heart. When I think of the hurling and the dance on Keeper Summit Brown, and the days I fished in the salmon leap round dear old Newport town. Shinnewin.
One of the people now who attended this ceremony in Thomas Street at the old Piper's Club was Mick O'Connor. Mick, you've good memories, I say, of the place.
I have, and they're very nostalgic and pleasurable, because I was fortunate enough to be friendly with the Keane brothers, James and Sean, and they were extraordinary musicians. But I remember going to the club, and my abiding memory was course of the great Leo Rosen and Sean Seary and Jim Dowling, and the session revolved around the Pipes. The Pipes had a special pride of place because, as you know yourself, Peter, after the classes Leo would perform, and they were always perfectly in tune, was another thing. So they had a special place, and it was a lovely atmosphere. But yet, you had all sorts of characters there. Now we see Ulrich O'Connor, who's here today in great form. I remember Ben and Bean there singing a song. All sorts of people now, the Crystals, who were also playing music, but also involved in boxing and politics. So there was a great mix of people with different backgrounds. And the place, apart from the musical connotation, was full of history. You couldn't walk 20 yards without some music. That was all.
Thank you very much, Mick O'Connor. Well, now, one of the names that you mentioned, Mick, was Ulrich O'Connor, who visited the club for many, many years. Ulrich, it wasn't something like that you just did once in a while. You had a genuine love for it.
Well, it was a unique sort of source of entertainment, erudition, and an introduction to a culture that, to some extent, had been translated into a rather boring series of Cayleys in the Mansion House and extraterritorial Gaelagore. And suddenly I found myself in the middle of a number of people from the country, from the city. That was the beautiful thing, the blend of country and city, who were only there because they liked Irish music and they knew Irish music. And of course it was like, you know, watching a lotus flower unfolding for me. And it was Dublin. It was unfashionable, which is even better. And what could happen there any night, you could never predict. But you could predict one thing, that there would be a wonderful night of beautiful music from people coming in from all over the country, Dublin and elsewhere.
Do you remember any of the people in particular?
Well, I remember most of the chieftains were coming in there early on, and I remember Barney used to come in there, and I didn't know Lou Kelly till after, but I know he came in. And, well, I think more than anybody else, I remember Leo Rosum, because Leo was a Dublin man. That's what impressed me, that this wonderful music, and when I say wonderful music, at that time it really wasn't known, even among middle-class Irish people, certainly not outside the country, that we had this extraordinary musical tradition, which is the envy of Western Europe. We didn't know that, and here were two Dublin men, like Leo Rosum and Larry Dillon, was another, who were profoundly aware of this, and were really founded the club, or were among the founders, in order to propagate Irish music and Irish culture, mainly through the pipes and through the fiddles. They regarded the accordion as a bit of a later invention. And I think if you decided to sing, they were a little afraid of that dreadful intrusion of the Dublin pub singer. But you would be allowed, as somebody said, to use a very good phrase, I hadn't heard it today, you were allowed to sing to give the fiddlers a rest, which is a wonderful way of putting them in their place. Because these fiddlers were really part of a high culture, you know, the descendants of Carolyn and the descendants of something that was part of Europe, a musical European tradition that was there and would have died if it hadn't been kept by them.
Well, now, we saw the unveiling of the plaque today, and you read, spoke a lovely poem. But the building itself is derelict. Do you think that something like that club could occur nowadays, or did it belong to its age and you wouldn't get it nowadays?
Well, I think it could occur, but occur is the key word, because they have to really happen through a couple of people coming together, and then it expands. And once it's destroyed, it's almost impossible to put the same tapestry together. But all I can say is that there is a terrible loss, because it was a place you could walk to in Dublin. You could walk to from any part of the city that you were in at night. You could stroll in, and you could also walk home if you were stuck. Now, when they moved out to Monkstown, and this is no reflection on Kilters, which have, you know, done a magnificent and wonderful job in doing what they are doing about Irish music, but it meant then that a lot of the people who went to the Piper's Club, they thought Monkstown was in Brighton, England or something. Or if they didn't, they thought it was as far. So it meant that a whole wonderful, haphazard local group of people who came together and got and infected one another with music and with the tradition were to some extent split up. And I think it could happen. But the trouble is today, by the time it had happened, you'd end up by being owned by Random Century or by Rupert Murdoch or something, because it would be so successful. That's the trouble.
So you've had to occupy yourself in other ways on Saturday nights.
Well, yes, I would put it that way. I can't. Well, I certainly never was able to occupy myself in this wonderful random exploration. I remember one night coming in there, and there was they would permit Irish dancing, with a certain amount of reluctance in the back room, and there were, you know, these young girls dancing, and some of them being taught, and there was this little old lady got up. And she had bad lungs, and she was wheezing, and she danced, but she didn't really dance because she couldn't move her legs very well. But in some sort of wonderful way, she suggested dancing, and then she gave the reason why she was doing this sort of inspired mime for us. She said, "I was taught to be the countess," and suddenly, in the room, 60 years later after her death, there was a spirit present, the countess. And to me, that's what the Piper's Club is about.
And for those not able to guess that the Countess was?
Countess Markovitch, of course. And in Dublin, she was never known as, they never called her Madam Markovitch. The upper classes called her Madam, but she was known as the Countess. Of course, the Dublin people were very perceptive, and they knew that she was a Polish Countess and not a British one, you know.
Thank you very much, Ulick O'Connor. Well, now, both Ulick and Mick O'Connor mentioned the name of Leo Rosum, and indeed for a lot of people, the Piper's Club, the most important thing was the lessons from Leo. And I'm now with Helena Rosum, who's Leo's daughter, and also Jim Dowling, who was a member of the club for a long time, I suppose, if not a founder, Jim, certainly there for a good while. And indeed on one occasion, I can remember, I actually took over one night and actually gave the lessons. Helena, can you tell me, when Leo was at home, did he know the Pipers? How important was it to him?
The Pipers, my father, was an institution. It was a place greatly by the whole family. He went to the Pipers Club every Monday night to meetings and actually was delighted to go out there. And we grew up with the feeling of people in the Pipers Club were very, very special. They were people to be respected at all times, and indeed that was the case, because even here today on this very, very joyous occasion, I'm beside Jim Dowling here, whom my father absolutely worshipped, indeed yourself, Peter, whom he taught, all of the people here today. The Pipers Club, the atmosphere we grew up in at home, the Pipers Club was mentioned at least four times a day, and to me it was a great institution to be respected. I went on Saturday to teach the Pipers, and he came home quite late, quite exhausted, but really, really happy.
Jim, what brought you to the club first?
Well, my late father was a workmate of the late of Jim Searley, who, and they both worked here in Guinness's, where we are at the moment. And Jim was the treasurer of the Pipers Club at the time, and he introduced my father to the Pipers Club, and my father brought me along, and my brother Jack, and we went into Leo's class. Now, I stuck it longer than Jack. Jack didn't last too long. Though he still has a great enjoyment for the pipes. But I went on and played away and learned them from Leo. And I thought Leo was a great teacher and a great man. And he was very, very much a man who liked him, you know. And my father bought a set made for me, a full set from Leo, which I still have, which I still cherish, and it's a wonderful set of pipes, and I play them quite regularly still in my own business in West Cork in the summertime. And you know what we owe to Leo is unbelievable. He was such a fine man, such a great piper, you know, and I was happy to be a pupil of his.
But what would you say about his personality when he was teaching?
Leo was a very good teacher. Now, I went to him both in the Pipers Club and in the Municipal School of Music in Chatham Street at the time. And at that time, we got half an hour individual tuition per week. And Leo was always dedicated. Every time you went in, he had new tunes written out, and he could write a tune like you'd write a poem, you know. He could just write it out like that. And he said, you know, learn this for next week and come back, you know. And he was a real dedicated teacher. He really and took a dedicated interest in his pupils. He wasn't an indifferent person. He was dedicated to his pupils.
Oh, you'd be nostalgic for the club, I'd say.
Of course, yes. And I was secretary there from 56 until 68, until I left for West Cork. And I enjoyed it. It was in its heyday in those days, and we had everybody came, you know, all the great musicians from all over the country. If they were in Dublin for the weekend or over from London, they all came to the Pipers Club, and the music was great, you know, great sessions, great times. Don't forget, in those days, nobody played music in pubs. Traditional music wasn't in pubs in those days. It was only afterwards pubs copped onto it, and the Pipers Club was the only place to go to in those days.
Olivia Rosam, who's the other daughter of Leo, how many pupils do you think passed through Leo's hands in all that time?
Oh, I couldn't even guess at a number. I know it's wonderful today. It's a wonderful opportunity to be here today, and quite a surprise to me to see so many people who turned out at Thomas Street, and to see people like Joe McKenna playing the pipes outside, wonderful music, Donal Glennon, and to meet Jim Dowling, which is an honour for me. I mean, I remember as a little girl growing up and meeting people like that, and they have a very dear place in my memory. That's all I can say. The funny thing is, I also teach music on a Monday night, and my father did the same thing on Monday nights. So,
Yes. Just to go back to Helena for a moment, did Leo teach in the club right up to the very end?
He did indeed, right up until he actually died in 1970. As people know, he unfortunately dropped dead while he was adjudicating the Fiddler of Dooney competition. He always said he liked to go in harness, and he certainly did. It was a great shock to us. We were talking earlier about, or asking about, the number of pupils who went through his hands. I'm lucky enough to have the roll books from both the Pipers Club and the School of Music at home, and I met a chap. Actually, we were sitting outside there at the music session, or standing outside, listening outside the Pipers Club as the plaque was being unveiled today, and this chap happened to be driving by, and lo and behold, he saw the pipes, and he got out of his car and came over. And it happened that he was one of my dad's pupils. So I would think he would put, I would think, close on about 50 pupils regularly through his hands in the Pipers Club. The School of Music even about the same amount again. I had the road books and I intend passing them on to the Pipers Club. And interestingly enough, I find as I look through the memorabilia or whatever I have in my archive, he was not alone involved in the music, but he was really, really involved in the administration of it. Because, I mean, say what he was sending a reed to somebody anywhere in the world, as he often did, wrapped up in a Jaffa orange piece of paper. You remember the big Jaffa oranges, little piece of orange paper around, that was delicate enough to wrap the reed in. He would put the reed then inside one of those tin players boxes, you know, cigarette boxes, and post it off. But it was never posted off without a sweeps sheet from the Pipers Club. He used to collect money for the club, a shilling a line, I think it was. And he always, so he was really into making money for the club.
And I suppose just to finish off, 50 years on, the work and the things that happened in all those years have great importance now, haven't they?
Well, they certainly have. I mean, if my father were alive today, I mean, I'm sure he would be so pleased, because obviously there's this fantastic boom in traditional music in general, and particularly the pipes. I mean, you know, years ago we had the odd piper, but today there are so many really, really good pipers. To see so many of his instruments, about so many instruments he needs, and if a guy doesn't have, if he's not lucky enough to have a whole set of his, he may have the chanter, because he was obviously very, very renowned for making an extremely good chanter. So that is a great joy to me. In fact, even in Belfast recently, I saw a guy play the pipes on the street, and I went over and I recognised the chanter straight away, and it was really great for me to be able to tell my daughters this was made by your granddad, whom unfortunately you've never met.
And Jim, you'd say the same thing 50 years on, has importance maybe that people didn't see at the time, I suppose.
Well, it has, in fairness, Peter. I remember in the Pipers Club in the 50s, I mean, we were struggling, you know. Traditional music wasn't recognised in those days as being, you know, what it is today. And people actually looked down on us to a certain extent. You know, we were sort of freaks, oddballs and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But we kept going, and now it's great to see it the way it is at the moment. And, you know, and everybody recognises it. People are playing everywhere. There's a great piping tradition around. As Helena said, there are more pipers around than ever before. And it's great to see it.
To hear that. That's the March, the Battle of Aughrim there, played on the flat pipes by Leo Rosen. And before that, that report from Peter Brown. And a part, incidentally, from the people introduced by Peter Brown and earlier by Laura O'Murchu. You heard in the middle of that report the song Newport Town, sung for us by Frank Mulcahy. Lovely to hear all those tributes to the late Leo Rosen in that report there. And incidentally, that track that we played there from Leo Rosen at the end of the report was recorded in 1966 for an album entitled The King of the Pipers, which was the very first album to be released on the Claddagh record label. CC1 was the number of the album. Great to see it re-released recently as well on CD, and the music of Leo Rosen now available on CD. Well, this is another man to whom tribute will be paid this weekend. It's probably started already, and indeed I'm sure it has, in Doolin in County Clare, the Michael Russell Traditional Music Weekend.
Ah, you mule, I claim your attention. I'll sing you a sport and fine song. Indeed, it is not my intention to keep you waiting too long. You know, since this game went against me, I've been sleeping out until dawn. My spirits has completely left me since marching went to burn on. With laughing and deep conversation, no language was plain and discreet. But I was building on a sandy foundation that soon slipped away from my feet. She found out some drops I was taking and staying out until dawn. She packed up her boxes quite hasty and she went for her fling to burn on. 'Tis often I drank with her father many the full saucepan of beer. At fair days in Kinmare and Kilgarvan, sure nothing could part us, my dear. He used to be praising his daughters, saying they were handsome and calm. But how queer and severe he turned after when Morsheen went to Bonon. 'Tis often in the evening I rambled, bound for the west I was prone. You could see me both racing and prancing, though very much being wanted at home. 'Tis many the garden I trampled, and fences I knocked in dear man. But I gave up all my palaver with Yankees since Morsheen went to Bonon.
That's the late Michael Russell there, When Morsheen Went to Bonon, a song which came originally from Coolay, but given very much the North Clare treatment there. And as I was saying, the Michael Russell Memorial Weekend takes place this weekend. It started tonight and continues over the weekend in Doolin in County Clare. At 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, there's a tin whistle and flute recital in the Russell Cultural Centre. There's a ceilidh tomorrow night with Shaskeen. The annual Remembrance Mass takes place at 12 o'clock on Sunday. Set Dancing with the Four Courts on Sunday afternoon. And lots of music, of course, throughout the weekend in the various different pubs in Doolin. The Gathering Festival is taking place in Killarney, in the Glen Eagle Hotel in Killarney this weekend. And tomorrow night, Mairead and Trina Ní Chonaill and their band and Dervish are on stage, followed by a set dance in Cayley with the Abbey Cayley Band. And on Sunday night, Tullamore Colthas Cultóirí Éireann, in association with the Colthas 50th anniversary celebrations that we mentioned earlier on, they're organising a special concert which takes place in the GAA Social Centre in Tullamore. Sunday night, Martin Connolly, Sean Ryan, Robert Gleeson, Eugene Nolan, Sharon Carroll and many more. And that starts at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. The University of Limerick continue their series of lunchtime concerts next Tuesday with a very fine acoustic guitar player from England by the name of Clive Carroll. That's in the Foundation Building in the University of Limerick, 1:15, and admission there is free. Sessions at the Shelter at Vicar Street in Dublin continue next Thursday night. Special guests there next Thursday night, Seamus Begley, Jim Murray, and special guest singer-songwriter from Cork, Gavin Moore. That's next Thursday at Vicar Street. And John Carty continues his Irish tour, celebrating the release of his new album. He'll be accompanied by Brian McGrath next Thursday, also in Dublin, the Cobblestone in Dublin next Thursday night, the Spirit Store in Dundalk Friday night next, that's the 2nd of March, the Home Bar in Rossinver in County Leitrim on Saturday the 3rd of March, and Monday the 5th of March then he's in Sheila na Gigs in Fury's Bar in Sligo, and we'll give you the rest of those dates on the programme next Friday night. Now, a very special concert taking place next Friday night on the subject of piping, which we've been dealing with quite a bit on the programme tonight. It's a concert of piping which is called, entitled, The Cooperation Ireland Project between the Pibrí Illan and the Royal Scottish Pipe Band Association, and this will feature Illan piping and Great Highland piping as well. The concert takes place in the O'Reilly Theatre in Belvedere College in Dublin, as I said, next Friday night starting at 8 o'clock. Leo and Dave Rickard will be there, Terry Tully on the Highland Pipes, Davy Spillane and Kevin Blacken, Jimmy O'Brien Morn, Roisin White the singer, and the Highland Piper Robert Watt, as well as the St. Lawrence Lawrence O'Toole Clondalkin Pipe Band next Friday night, 8 o'clock in Belvedere College in North Dublin City. Dervish mentioned that they'll be playing tomorrow night in Killarney, and next Friday night, the 2nd of March, they play in the Aula Maxima at the Sligo Institute of Technology. Now, a note from Michael Marinan to tell us about a weekend of music, song and dance that takes place in the Park Hotel in Dungarvan in County Waterford next weekend. Next Friday night, a concert with Mary Bergen, Tony McMahon, Anthony McGowan, Matty Joe Hamish and Sean O'Shea. Kayleigh's on Saturday night and also on Sunday afternoon, and Set and Kayleigh Workshop with Donacha O'Muinachain Saturday and Sunday, and lots of other sessions and singing sessions and so on taking place over that weekend. There's a special benefit gig taking place in the Cobblestone Pub in Smithfield next Saturday night. Tomorrow night week, the 3rd of March at 8:30, Tony McMahon again will be there, Neely Mulligan, Damien Dempsey, Noreen Leach, August Agarja. And finally, just to mention something that I did mention on the programme a couple of weeks ago, it's a weekend of song and music taking place in Cork City, organised by the Cork Singers Club in the Spalpeen Fáinne, South Main Street in Cork, from the 9th until the 11th of March. To Tell It in Song and Story is the title of it. We'll have more details about that for you on the programme next week. And that's about all we've time for on tonight's edition of the programme. Hope you enjoyed the music and the chat. And as I said, we'll be back with you at the same time next week. We're going to leave you with the group Beg Innish, the Greencastle Hornpipe, and the Wheels Miss Patterson's Slippers.
The late session presented by Anya Hensi was produced by Peter Brown.
The World Cup campaign for the boys in green has got off to a brilliant start. The next Aircom International is against Denmark at Lansdowne Road on Wednesday, February 28th. Tickets are available on the credit card line at Dublin.